This is the Baptist Hour, bringing the gospel of Christ to you. Across the nation, the transcribed message of the Baptist Hour reaches into the hearts and lives of countless thousands, permeating the doubts and fears of life with the radiant word of God, as Dr. J.D. Gray speaks on the subject, Is Your Religion Sufficient? Creating a more brilliant spark for Christian service as the Baptist Hour Choir sings your favorite songs of faith. This is the Baptist Hour.
My hope is there. Less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
The Word of God comes to us with special significance in Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with the eighth verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the salvation we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His death for us upon the cross of Calvary and for everlasting life that comes through Him. Help us that we may turn from ritual, rite, and ceremony and may see Him and Him alone as our only means of everlasting life. Bless everyone who shall listen to the broadcast that shall be given. And may Thy Holy Spirit indite the message and accompany it to the heart of every hearer. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and for His sake. Amen.
Every sea or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. Where shall sweetly obey my will? Peace be still, peace be still.
Here is Dupree Jordan with a special announcement from Baptist Radio Center.
Following the solo, you will welcome for the last time in this series of messages, Dr. J.D. Gray, pastor of the First Baptist Church of New Orleans, Louisiana, and president of the Southern Baptist Convention. We know that Dr. Gray's Questions That Count have been a great blessing to you and to the entire nation. Your cards and letters requesting copies of his sermons have been greatly appreciated. And the beauty and truth reflected in them will continue to bless the lives of men and women everywhere. Next week, you will welcome again to the Baptist Hour Charles Welburn, one of the most outstanding young preachers in the nation and pastor of the Seventh and James Baptist Church, Waco, Texas. You will not want to miss the first of his inspiring messages of this new series. So plan now to be listening and ask your friends to listen with you next week to the Baptist Hour.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. The guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, loved us still.
Religion as such does not save anybody. Everybody in the world has a religion of some kind. The Hottentot in the heart of darkest Africa, the self-righteous moral man in our own community, and even the communist in Russia has a religion. Two simple definitions of religion as given in the dictionary make this clear. The first one says, consecrated devotion to any cause considered sacred. And the second is equally plain, any system of faith and worship. It is one thing to have religion, another thing to have salvation. Religion may be simply an external matter of rites, ritual, and ceremony. Salvation is a matter of the heart. Hence we say religion does not save, but Jesus Christ does. Galatians 3:26 makes it clear when God says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The Master said the same thing in John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you are a child of God by faith in Christ, if you have been born again, you will, as God's child, trust implicitly in his care under all circumstances. In that case, your religion will be sufficient for everything that shall come in life. When we are children of God, we will find a sufficiency of grace for every situation, just as David the psalmist found it and sang of it in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That our world is in a distressed condition just now cannot be gainsaid or denied. Anyone who reads the shocking news that our daily papers and magazines give us, anyone who listens to the startling reports over our televisions and radios, cannot doubt that this old, weary world in which we live is indeed distressed. And as we view this condition of distress, we need to remind ourselves that two things have ever and shall continue to cause distress in the world. In the first place, the success of evildoers brings the world to a condition of distress. And in the second place, the poverty and the dejection of the righteous also bring it about. The 37th Psalm, from which we have just read, deals with both of these causes of distress. In the first verse of that psalm, David reminds us, regarding the success of evildoers, to fret not thyself because of evildoers. And his expression, literally translated, is glow not because of them. And then he gives the reason why we are not to glow, as he says in the second verse, for they shall soon be cut down. And we need in this day in which we live to keep that thought ever before us, that the workers of iniquity shall soon be cut down as God will deal with them. And then discussing the condition of poverty of the righteous, the psalmist comes to give great assurance to them, as in verse 16 he says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And furthermore, in the 25th verse of that same 37th psalm, he said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
God's righteous people who feel the pinch of poverty and the suffering of want need to remember ever and anon that He will care for them. As we face this distressed condition of our world, as we are perplexed and troubled on every side, some are asking the question, is our religion sufficient? Will the religion of our fathers do in an hour like this? Do we need a new religion to face these troubled times in which we live? For every genuine child of God, there can be but one answer to these questions. For him who has sublime faith, but one reply can be made. No, we do not need any new religion, for our old religion is sufficient if we will give it a chance. In this brief message, it is my purpose to suggest to you that we look to this 37th Psalm, the first seven verses, and discern there good and adequate reasons why our religion is sufficient for a distressed world. These verses definitely set forth the way out. In the first place, trust in the Lord and do good. In verse 3, the psalmist gave us those exact words when he said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Ever and always, God calls upon man to trust in him. I verily believe in this day in which we live that God stands before us all and urges us to trust in him. We are called upon to trust in him in preference to trusting in man. Well does the Lord remind us in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We are urged to trust him in all circumstances and under all conditions. We need now that faith which Job had in the long ago, when in the midst of sore trial and tribulation, when everything about him seemed to be giving way, he cried, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And the beloved Apostle Paul caught the strains of this doxology of praise and said in the 8th chapter of his epistle to the Romans in the 28th verse, all things work together for good to them that love God. He was saying there what every true child of God continues to say, that amidst the greatest distress that is possible, my religion will be sufficient, for it will be a religion of trust in the Lord. We will trust him as a child trusts its father. Through the bitter tears of heartache and sorrow, even sickness and suffering, the child looks up into its father's face and whispers those words which are sweet indeed, Father, I trust you. Even as the great gospel songwriter Charles Gabriel said in one of his songs, I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. Not only will I trust in the Lord, but the psalmist says also to do good. It is always best to do good. It is never wise to do wrong. But the question is often asked, is it really worthwhile? And as clear as the noonday sun, as sweet as the voice of a father to his child, the Lord says again and again through the psalmist, trust in the Lord and do good. In the second place, delight thyself in the Lord. This is exactly what David said in verse 4 of this psalm, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He is referring here to an attitude, to a frame of mind. The delight in the Lord and the desires of our heart are to go together. When we mention heart, we think immediately of love, and the association of these two ideas implies that we are to be deeply in love with the Lord. And surely you will agree, beloved, that in these days in which we live, which are dark and ominous indeed, we need to be very much in love with the Lord. The expression he used here means, furthermore, to be charmed with, to have joy in the Lord. And certainly when one considers all that the Lord has done for him, when he remembers all that the Lord has given him, when he counts the many blessings that have come to him, he will be charmed with the Lord. He will be charmed with the Lord's goodness. He will be charmed with the Lord's plenty. He will be charmed with the love which the Lord has for his children. The psalmist is here giving us a lesson that we need to learn anew, and that is that we have joy in the Lord. The joyful Christians are the ones who give us the sweet melody in the midst of life's jargon of inharmony. They're the ones who make the bitter waters of Marah to become sweet. The joyful Christians give light in the darkest hour, hope in the despairing moment, and peace in the troubled time. As never before in the history of the world, there is a need for genuine children of God who delight themselves, who are charmed with, who have joy in the Lord. A religion of this type is the religion that is sufficient for our distressed world. In the third place, commit thy way unto the Lord. The expression which David here uses in the fifth verse means literally to roll thy way on the Lord. The use of this expression, roll thy way, implies something too heavy to be carried. It means sorrows, cares, heartaches, and burdens that man by himself is unable to lift, and he has just to roll them off on the Lord. Proverbs 3:6 gives us great counsel when it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But this verse, commit thy way unto the Lord, is a much greater promise and is a deeper word of admonition. For if we will do this, if we will commit our way unto the Lord, then this will keep us from the bypaths of sin. If our religion is to be sufficient in this hour in which we live, then it must make us learn to commit our way unto the Lord. And finally, rest in the Lord. The word which David used in verse 7 of the 37th Psalm literally means to be silent to Jehovah. He thus contrasts it with the attitude which some have of fretting. He is saying to them and to us, instead of fretting thyself because of evildoers, just be silent to Jehovah. On another occasion, the psalmist said, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. And beloved friends, how we in this day of all days need to learn to be still and know that I am God. Even as the Lord admonished us to do in Psalm 46 and 10, all through the scriptures, the wicked are described as troubled and turbulent sea when it cannot rest. Again and again, this thought is brought out in the Bible. It perhaps reaches its climax in the 57th chapter of Isaiah, when that mighty prophet said in verses 20 and 21, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Surely then we will know that we now, as never before, are to be still, to be silent, to rest in the Lord. We will learn to rest our case in Jehovah, to know that he will cause the right to win, that God is still on his throne, and after all these sorrows and troubles and the distresses that come, God will cause the right to win. And you and I, who labor in the Lord's vineyard, need to receive a new spirit and a new reassurance regarding our work. We need just now, as never before, to put on the whole armor of God and to stand bravely in our places. We need a rededication of our hearts and of our lives to the principle that God's program is best for the world. Then we need to go out in the courage of our convictions and call upon all the world to come back to God. Let us rest in the Lord and do this. And let us have a deepening conviction that it is there and there alone that we can afford to rest. We need a new interpretation of the words of the Apostle Paul when he admonished us to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yes, the Christian life is worthwhile. The service we render to the Lord is eminently worthwhile. Let us indeed and in truth rest in the Lord when we have done our best for him. You who listen to me now, have you learned the lesson that the psalmist here suggests? Have you learned to trust in the Lord, to commit all your ways to him and to rest in him? If you have not learned this lesson, may I remind you that no peace will ever be yours. No permanent joy can come your way until you do trust in the Lord and rest in him. Let us from this time forward possess a faith and practice this religion as children of God, which is sufficient for our distressed world. And beloved unsaved friend, you can never possess this sublime and abiding faith in God about which we've been speaking unless the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in your heart as your personal Savior and Lord. He is able, ready, and willing to save you the moment you repent of sins and believe on him. Then he will walk beside you through all of the experiences of life. Will you not, therefore, just now, take him as your personal Savior and know the joy of victorious living that can come to you? If your faith is wholly in Christ, then your religion will be sufficient for all of life and for that hour of death when it comes to you.
Victory win.
The message was by Dr. J.D. Gray, president of the Southern Baptist Convention and pastor of the First Baptist Church, New Orleans, Louisiana. Individual printed copies of the message are available without cost upon request. Simply write to the Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. A postal card will do. Our address again, the Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. Baptist Hour is presented on transcription by the Radio Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention as a contribution to the religious life of America. Music is by the Baptist Hour Choir under the direction of John D. Hoffman. Organist is Miss Frances Shum, soloist Frank Boggs. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for the Baptist Hour.
Demands my soul, my life.
This is an independent network.